Good morning. I'm Douglas Bowles, and this is 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com, a weekly conversation with the interesting artists and thinkers of our day. Today is the 24th of September, and this is episode number 103. Since last week dealt indirectly with the letter X, I guess it only makes sense that today we will be dealing with the number zero.
I am sure you are correct, Douglas. On our Saturday morning vision quest. Hi, yo, this is Will Morgan, and today we're speaking with Frank Zero, a New Orleans-based researcher, artist, writer, singer, and part-time motivational speaker. His interest in superheroes, cartoons, comics, and the occult has led him to explore themes of alien abduction, conspiracy, and mind control, often found in X-related fiction. Some of his explorations can be found at the Secret Moon Facebook group and theexaminer.com. Most recently, he's been spearheading Contact, the book, with his collaborators at Project PsyCube. Frank, also known as Cosmic Cubes, contributed a chapter, or Cosmic Comics. Man, those like words are the exact same damn thing, just mixed up.
Yes.
Cosmic Comics. Contributed a chapter to the Sync Book Volume 2, on which we will be discussing now. And thank you for that long introduction and waiting for it, Mr. Zero. How are you?
I am good. It was interesting that you mentioned the X was the last episode, because most of what I do comes from, you know, the X-Men or the X-Files or the obsession with such, and then I guess moves fully into Frank Zero territory when you start picking the stuff apart.
This is going to be fun, because in my opinion, we can just go through the list of cartoons that listed in here. I mean, most sync heads shouldn't need an explanation. Maybe this would even be cool if somebody put video to it, but first episode is Star Trek, the animated series. What was the time on that one?
As in the year?
Yeah.
I think that's 70-something.
I remember vaguely from a kid, but I must have been watching reruns. How many different episodes do they have?
I think there's only a season and a half or two very small seasons. I know it comes out to something like no more than 15 episodes or something. And I would say over half of those are well worth a watch. If you're in the sync community or you're looking for, you know, deeper, further revelations into Star Trek or Gene Roddenberry's canon particularly.
They had the holodeck. That's what I remember. That's where the holodeck was, because Next Generation didn't come out until, like, the 90s, right?
Yeah.
But the cartoons from the 70s had, like, a holodeck that was featured. Who wrote this?
A combination of people. The one I would say to look up just as far as an entire career would be David Wise, and he's the one who did How Sharp a Serpent's Tooth. So we're interlinking, you know, Quest to call these giant flying serpents, ideas and pyramids having energy we weren't aware of, and ancient cultures being a little more astronomically in the know and so forth. And that's all packed in that one short episode. I believe he wrote another one. I can't quite place right now if I'm correct. But then you had some other people that were just consistently working in Star Trek stuff or comic books at the time or whatever who filled in some of the other scripts.
Okay, so for our listeners, let's just start at the beginning. What is Project PsyCube?
PsyCube started with just a couple of guys that I'm very close to, Violator Hellspawn, Trevor Taco, and Colin Reed, namely. And it's I've tried to expand it to a little larger, kind of a secret project that I'll update one day if that comes through. But what we're doing is combining our know of alternative or actual history, the sync world and the symbolism and things like that, and then just really a hardcore love for the material in the first place, comics and everything like that. And for the most part, we just write on all those topics. We have a lot of ideas on our own. I go off on my own sort of political bent, trying to get people to understand certain things about foreign policy or war or whatever. But where we stay really concentrated is that X-Men, X-Files area, and kind of bringing that stuff to light and making it relatable. you know, whether it's actually referencing ancient cultures or obscure conspiracies.
And the side cube, if you unpack that a little bit, was that, what is that?
Where? Oh, particular, it's, we just kept, Violator had written a lot about cosmic cubes and cubes as, you know, related to math and Hellraiser and movies that he's really into. And I kind of stepped up there with, in some ways, not even knowing that he was doing that. And I was I had already put on my Wiki Spaces page stuff about, you know, Jack Kirby and Captain America and the cosmic cube and relevance to Marvel. I think I even by the end of the page tied it into Aqua Teen or something. And then I just realized that, you know, we had such a focus on these cubes. And I didn't feel like sitting around waiting forever, you know, what's the best band name for five guys working on the gives a shit. So I just, you know, I was like, okay, well, you know, we're dealing with a lot of psychic phenomena, a lot of human potential, a lot of, you know, mind work, if you will. And then let's combine that with this this cube idea, you know. And if one day the world changes, I think we'll have a little less repressive of a name. But right now it very much means, you know, cubicle of dudes who are obsessed with these things.
The magics of Magestu.
Yeah, that's the one.
And then where is there, like, one location where this really happens?
I can't place it. It's just one ancient culture.
No, I'm talking more along the lines of, so this is this collaboration between all these different people that you mentioned, but where does this work? Where does this collaboration really happen?
I'm sorry. We just have our own sort of private cubicles, if you will, on the internet. We've never even met at all. Violator could be a demon. I have no idea. But, you know, we've been working years together in this format with just the five of us, basically. And
so it's more like a think tank, a private think tank.
Precisely. And then we can go out and I think we each have our foot in the door of a couple of different fields that the others don't. Mine is certainly not the best claim to fame, but it's involved in the super soldier stuff and stuff like that. You know, Violator, the Stygian Port blog speaks for itself. Some of the other ones are coming from, you know, more of a historical point of view, whatever. So,
damn it, can we get to the cartoons?
No. And then so we have to wait. Okay, you wrote a chapter for the Sync book.
Yes.
But you've been working, it seems, primarily most recently on Contact the Book.
Yes. Well, it's a little hard to peg down because I sort of insist on doing six things at once. I don't think it really helps PsyQ, but it's just kind of the way I am. So I've been equally trying to stop the war on Syria, or at least get people to know what that means, working with the super soldiers to try to come to a full conclusion of what's going on there, working on a few different book projects, and then PsyQ in general has been primarily focused on getting the Contact book out there as soon as possible. It should be available really soon.
Great.
We're also going to make a sync video to go along with that, which will include stuff like X-Files and X-Men, sort of expanding on the concepts that we have in the book, but now in the fictional sync sense and not in the, you know, getting our sources straight, trying to tell a history right sense, if you will.
And as an individual, you like to play with aliases and different blog locations and things. But so where
he's
are
like
you...
a superhero, Doug.
He is, I know. Where are you primarily doing most of your writing lately?
I would have to say it's in these books, which haven't, you know, quite reached
okay.
the surface.
No, and that's all right. That's great.
In the Tumblrs and in the new blog, Gene Gray's, it's also called Sci-Files, whenever I post a link of it on Facebook, or you can find it under Frank Zero on Facebook, or PsyCube on Facebook. And that's where I've sort of, for the first time, tried to get really personal and tried to do some deep digging and some deep work, and a lot of it's been, you know, uncomfortable for me. And then I was able to express that entirely through the movie Dark City or parts of Wolverine's life or whatever. And so for the first time, it was like, it's kind of akin to, I guess, writing lyrics or something with experience with different bands I've been in. It's like now I'm trying to really get some inner stuff churning, try to do something for myself. But then I'm not interested in, like, you know, journaling my actual life, so I can collage together these already known moments and emotions and whatever.
Wait,
and
wait,
that's
wait,
kind
wait,
of
wait.
That
wait. Let me think here. Is there something we need to know about your own personal experiences that are weird?
No.
Okay, just checking.
I'm fine.
Will, you're getting at the mythological archetype of the superhero. Know what kind of bug it was that bit him in his childhood, or?
Yeah, I just wanted to know if he had been abducted or anything
spray
like that.
That he got
like,
from
had
the
he
UFO?
Seen Bigfoot? I mean, all of those things are kind of important to know before we get engaged in this.
I just watched football and bullshit they advertise on football commercials, and then I wound up here. No, I don't. It's something that I don't really want to delve into because it's a lot of aspects of what I do with the way I work with alien abductees or super soldiers or whatever.
Yeah.
I insist on staying as entirely neutral as I can. I don't want to color anyone's story with what my story may be. Now, with that being said, I've heard thousands of people's stories, and mine may have become tinted because I'm sitting around studying all these people, some who may be entirely crazy, some who may be through years of some weird MKUltra type of abuse, some who've just been, you know, repeated abductees to the point where that's their worldview now and stuff like that. And I don't really believe as an artist.
To show these certain things, though, in the Saturday morning cartoons, what would be the purpose? I mean, what if it had a nefarious thing to do with like programming? Do you think that like Wolverine could strike a flashback? I mean, is that possible?
Yes, I mean I'll go in depth explaining the way that works.
Okay, how about this? We'll start for our listeners. What is in one of your in the Sync Book piece? You have someone saying something to the effect of, there are many within the disclosure community who are not what they say they are. So what is the disclosure community? Does that kind of in a nutshell capture this world, or am I off base there?
Sort of. Yeah, I mean, you're definitely correct. You have like the truther movement and the guys who call themselves truthers, but they only refer to 9/11. And then you have the people obsessed with, you know, only alien abduction or whatever. And you have these huge groups of people who, for their own psychological reasons, will gravitate toward any of this sort of extreme or exotic stuff because they need that to sort of complete them or whatever. So there's a lot of emotional, I don't want to call it garbage, let's call it blockage, in these different fields that it's hard to get what's really going on and what people really may believe. It's very hard to gauge. So I guess to answer sort of all of this at once, you have this body of data that was, let's say, before 9/11, essentially what conspiracy theorists thought was going on. And then you have all this like post 9/11 transhumanist Terminator sort of worries that are only the extension of those original fears, that there's something underground, it has something to do with cloning, abducting, or chipping people, that super soldiers involved, that aliens are involved, that they do horrible human experiments, and that MKUltra went in every crazy direction you can think of. And if you agree with, you know, people on YouTube, they completely control the entire music industry and every single video game and every comic that comes out. Now, that's extremely far-fetched, but I've interviewed so many of the people, particularly who worked on the cartoons, and, you know, as far as you can do on the internet, tried to be respectful of them and look them in the eye and say, look, I grew up on this stuff. I love this stuff either way. That, you know, I love these cartoons. I'm not saying that you are the Illuminati. But can you answer for me why it is that false flag alien invasions, underground bases, the chipping of the populace, the super soldier is seemingly the only thing you could talk about? If we're spanning from G.I. Joe to X-Men to all this different stuff, it didn't just seem to be in the public consciousness that they would go that far with every single show and even repeat themselves. Whereas Ninja Turtle and G.I. Joe is the same type of false flag alien invasion. There's the same kind of government propaganda used on the populace. And we're still talking about cartoons. So all these guys who I interviewed basically gave me this reaction like, you know, kid, you're looking way too hard for what you're trying to see here. You're just kind of making stuff up. The whole world's not a conspiracy. You need to relax. And as I did each interview, I started to lose esteem in my original mission. So I was describing what was going on in the cartoons, and then I could come back in the book and say, this is just like the exopolitics movement. This is just like a disclosure movement where these guys would come out basically within the same month. You'd have you know, 15 people who claim to work at NASA and people who work Department of Defense, and all these people come out of nowhere, and suddenly they have thousands and thousands of pages of documentation detailing the stuff that's in the cartoons in the real conspiracy or supposedly real conspiracy literature. So really the way I feel about it now is I think that there's a lot of sort of subliminal weird channeling kind of Jack Kirby process whereby somebody just sat down and started writing a script. And of course, they had read up on ancient cultures or the possibility of ancient aliens in the 70s, you know, literature or whatever. And that came out in the cartoons innocently. That's what I thought. But as I went back way after I had written the chapter for the second Sync book, and I was just watching more and more and more of every cartoon I could get my hands on, even up to the modern Spider-Man and Avengers series and stuff, it's still repeated and in the exact same way. And these writers are still present to hold the line of consistency about something like the, you know, the death of currency and the switching to the Bitcoin kind of virtual system, or quite frankly, people underground who are being mind controlled into being slaves or whatever, which is clearly represented in G.I. Joe and in others. So I'm sorry, that was a bit of a ramble fest, but as far as the exopolitics movement, the disclosure movement, these are kind of like Project Camelot. In some way, getting all the information together in one place and then doing something like releasing that serious movie and just watching the whole world laugh at you. And then the people that are on the side of you who may have been astronauts or whatever sort of all look asinine after something like that. So it's like I'm saying, it's very hard to gauge and understand.
Spielberg would go on to make several other alien-themed shows and movies. Even the background of Spielberg movies like Jaws, there can be seen anomalous objects in the sky.
Yes.
Really?
You know what? For that particular things in the sky, you may have to consult Violator. Because that's totally his knowledge field, and he was reading over it, and he was just like, I think we need to add Jaws here, and, you know, sure. But yeah, that's... He knows almost everything about, like, stuff in the background in films and how props tend to be shared, you know. Nothing on that. But I can detail for you that Spielberg, if you're going to watch anything after this show, cartoon-related, if you feel tempted to, sit down and look up Steven Spielberg's Invasion of America. It's a cartoon sort of movie miniseries. And then watch season 9 of the Ninja Turtles. And if you don't see, you know, extreme parallels and find yourself kind of in my position already just watching those two. I don't know.
Wow.
For so, whatever reason.
Yeah, let's talk about the damn cartoons.
Well, I ended up starting watching Jim Henson's The Cube last night.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that one?
You know what? I can't remember because I've seen the, again with Violator, I've seen the stills so many times in his work. Oh yeah, I did sit down and watch it. Yeah, I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
I still haven't gotten it yet.
I don't know if you guys have checked this out, but he sits there, Violator, in the many publications of the Cube business, goes through that Jim Henson film and then works his way all the way to, you know, Hellraiser and stuff like that.
Right, and so when I was doing a little bit of research for this, I did some kind of Google string, and I ended up at the Stygian port. I mean, that's – oh, yeah, because I wanted specifically to bring up Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Because that's weird that you say that. I was thinking about that very same movie last night because in Frank's piece, he talks about the Montauk chair, and right. That's a specific reference to Montauk chair. And I've thought about this. Because that movie was like, what, 1997, if I remember correctly?
A few years up.
Yeah, it might have been.
So the book Montauk and Adventures in Synchronicity by Moon was before that. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yes, and I've worked with Moon. I mean, Moon and I are kind of collaborating. Peter Moon, that is, are collaborating on the comic book that I have coming out. Eventually, but one of the main things we're invoking there is the idea of the Montauk chair, the trip chair.
Right.
You know, it's got a million different names. It's in Serenity and Total Recall and Eternal Sunshine and Spotless Mind. You can find one in G.I. Joe, Defenders of the Earth. I could go on for way too long.
Huh.
Christopher Hunter Myers turned me on to the Montauk book by Moon, by Peter Moon, and because it's so wacky because you're like, okay, so whenever the Moon Book came out, which was 97, I think, or something like that, it was not in the 90s. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind was obviously influenced because the guy who wrote Eternal Sunshine is a nutcase. He writes all those weird movies anyways. But there's Montauk is actually specifically invoked in that.
Yeah. I think it's a clue to, and I kind of go into this in blogs and Tumblrs or whatever. It's a clue to where they want Jim Carrey positioned in your mind.
Right.
Like what he is, the eternal sort of archetype of. And
there's just no way. It makes sense because the Peter Moon book was called Adventures in Synchronicity as well. So there's like a lot of pull towards that already because Carrey has the number 23 and he's just a sync, like,
yeah,
beacon.
I mean, that's the point. The 20, you know, I think the 23 is saying, hey, any would-be somewhat, you know, people who understand sync,
right,
this is 23 that you can associate with Robert Ann Wilson and with basketball players and whatever. And then you move into Truman Show territory where just like Dark City and Eternal Sunshine and everything, you have someone sort of trying to tear down the walls of their reality to understand
right.
what's really up. And for some reason, in Star of Echoes, Dark City, Eternal Sunshine, Truman Show, and 23, there's the Manchurian Candidate, the newer one, there's these sort of exacting scenes where somebody's looking at a wall of crazy writing
right.
and thinking about how to get through or out of that place. And of course, this harkens back to, you know, Labyrinth and things like that. And we'd go on another Jim Carrey, JC, Jennifer Connelly rant if we were to go into Labyrinth
right.
territory and follow it that
but
way.
But it's cool. I like the Batman Forever. I like the way he's sucking people's TV. I mean, it's all about TV and media and their experiences being sucked into his brain. But then once again, that's projected out on the Truman Dome where it's
yeah.
positioned in Hollywood. And then, you know, again with the cable guy where he's obsessed with media, and then the brain-sucking thing that happens in Eternal Sunshine again with your memories and synthetic memories and all of this oh my God, it's so crazy.
You can actually take the helmet from Batman and divine it the same way that I did with the Montauk chair. So
right.
that helmet is in Transformers. It's in G.I. Joe. You know, I don't even have to be someone associated with cartoons to have noticed that for some reason the helmet looks almost identical that they're putting on people to, you know, sort of scramble their brains or, like
right.
you're saying, the interface with media idea.
Well, it all has
so
to do with
is...
the planning of false memories and, like, the Dark City. He's injected with false memories to actually become the superhero. It's kind of like this all of a sudden getting all the information that you didn't have before. But at the same time, it's the way that the super soldier thing works as well.
Precisely. Wolverine has about a fourth of the rage and aggression that we understand him to actually have because he has about 56 implanted memories, which make him think that he had loved a person, had killed a person he loved, had gotten a person he loved killed, had been abused, things like this. You can watch, and I think I've mentioned this on this show before, which is just sad, but Weapon X lies and videotape the X-Men episode of David McDermott. And David McDermott said, you know, he was looking into some of this material and trying to understand the way this mind manipulation worked when he wrote the episode, but, you know, Sabretooth breaks down in front of his childhood home, remembering that he was abused by his father, and Wolverine, curious as to why Sabretooth is breaking down, suddenly remembers that, you know, he had an ex-lover and that she had been killed or he had betrayed her or vice versa or something like that. And they're sort of standing there and they realize that these are all Hollywood props and the memories have been weird inserts out of nowhere. And so we don't, you know, even Wolverine isn't sure, you know, if we're talking about X-Men the way it stands right now, what's actually happened to him and things, you know.
What the heck is happening?
Somebody loves you.
Yeah, I'm getting like
a thousand messages.
This is unusual.
This
all
ain't
right,
even
I
live
to...
and you're blowing up, homie.
Have you ever seen the movie Stranger Than Fiction?
No. Do you know right off the bat if there's a way I can turn that sound off? Literally never happened to me before. Not stopping.
It's got to mean something. So I hate to break this to you, but I'm working on a piece right now, and I think it might be your life. Frank.
Oh, okay. Do I get three claws and watch football all the time?
I'm working on a book right now, and my main character's name is Frank. And essentially, it's all those different pieces that you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
You know, as far as it's amazing, like the idea that so much of the fiction that we're interested in right now, it's the characters in the fiction have the realization that they're in a fiction and that they need to get out of the fiction, you know, yeah, by becoming the superhero or, you know, whatever it is, the super soldier, the mutant, you know, whatever it is, the thing. So it's that Jeffrey Kripal theme that you guys talked about last time you were on.
Yeah.
But the past couple nights I've been watching Existence and Strange Days.
Yes.
And it's in, yeah, those aren't the chair and it's not the helmet, but it's
the same thing.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
I have to put the movie Nirvana, which is often sort of overlooked in that category as well, for anybody who's just wanting to check this stuff out. But I'll be honest with you guys. I past couple of days, and especially after the Syria thing, I was just kind of like, you know, I need to stay out the news. Like, I want to know and relate to everyone what's going on in Africa and everything else. But I just like, I can't constantly, you know, be on pins and needles like all the actual media is. So I like fluctuate in and out of giving people info. And on these kind of breaks that I take, I'll just, you know, watch something consistently like cartoons. And in the past couple of days, I've just been watching films that are supposed to take place in the future, somewhere between 2000, 2070 something. And it doesn't matter how low grade the film is. I mean, if they're putting paper mache on motorcycles to make this environment, or if it was a major production and totally recognized, you know, as a Hollywood blockbuster, it's just so consistent. It's like they had a show Bible or an episode Bible, whatever you want to call that, for the entire future. And they had to pass it around Hollywood and be like, okay, you're making a movie about future sports. Well, you still have to mention that they're going to use thumb scanners to get across border lines. There's going to be a one world police or just whatever. And sure, some of these things are foreseeable. And if you're into conspiracies enough, you can piece this together and it'll start looking consistent. But it freaks me out. Right? You know, if you sit around and watch a lot of movies like Nirvana and Existence, it's like, what are they so directly trying to tell us? Not what is this person's worldview and how did they come to this conclusion? You know, is this an archetypal thing or is this something that's the military or the Hollywood or whatever says yes or no to everything that's exactly the same and or they say yes rather to everything that they want promoted that is, you know, putting it in plain sight or what have you. And then they say no to anything that, you know, we would recognize as like of Kubrick value of things that somebody initially working from the outside and trying to observe this stuff and put it in film.
Well, G.I. Joe would be almost an obvious way to insert propaganda.
Yeah.
How loaded is it?
It's one of the most loaded and explains every single conspiracy theory dreamt up in the past at least 50 years in extreme vivid visual detail. So, like, there's other other shows that get close, like X-Men and stuff like that. I think the X-Files may be the other one most consistent in getting the same kind of data out there. But in G.I. Joe, you're working with a paramilitary bunch of multicultural, you know, sort of whatever that's supposed to be, like a future UN force that's still totally only gung-ho about American patriotism or whatever. And then, obviously, the people making that are well-versed in military terminology, in military ideas, and then for some reason they're also experts on controlling ley lines and switching currency to something digital and whatever. So that's very curious to me.
All right, Frank, check it. Go to tools, go down to options. On your options, go down to sounds.
Okay.
All right, go down to sounds and then turn off incoming IM.
Okay.
Instant that message.
Quite annoying. I'm sorry about that. Hold on. Like, literally, you know, I can't tell you how many of these I've done or conversations, meetings with people, and just I've never had this happen.
This doesn't happen to me, I swear.
Right.
So, no need to be embarrassed. I think it's just funny. But it was, like, starting to get rhythmic, so we had to do something about it.
I can imagine. Okay, I'm still looking for this. I'm gonna figure it out. You don't have to talk me through this.
Okay, I mean, Operation. I know that I saw one the other day. It was on Boomerang or something, and G.I. Joe had this one where they had to become rock stars because Cobra had become rock stars, and they were putting out subliminal messages out in the rock.
Yeah, I just posted the T-shirt of the whatever it is, like Neon Viper or something. Is the name of that ridiculous rock band with the bounty hunter, the Blackwater, that essentially works for their shapeshifters.
It's insane.
Let me just clarify. I did not mean to say that Blackwater is filled with shapeshifters. I just before I put that out to the general public.
Well, what the thing is it looks like as the series went on, it got. I mean, I remember the last of it. I remember the last movie and everything. But as the show went on, it got increasingly more spiritual with G.I. Joe running into Thoth and Amun-Ra. Episodes about Osiris, and what's this one about? Operation Dragonfire.
Oh man, what is Dragonfire? Hold on.
The Joes go to the Himalayas to do some UN-style feeding and educating.
Okay, yeah, that's and that mirrors an episode of Defenders of the Earth so closely that I get them entirely confused. But as far as I remember, there's like the Tibetan monks or something up there are working with a whole new type of energy, you know, so there's this very Nazi ringing idea about this, you know, evil military industrial complex wanting to pick up on these
Vril.
Yeah, the Vril kind of idea. But I think by the end of it, it's just some kind of weird energy weapon by itself, akin to, let's say, Degalaka or something like that. And I don't think it goes too heavy into the Tibetans being able to educate the Nazis in the militarization of occult powers, but that's what they're suggesting, sort of, you know.
Do you see that there's a lot of UN symbolism? I mean, I noticed that you mention it often, but I like an Extreme Ghostbusters episode Sphinx, where they have this Sphinx who's sucking up all the most intelligent people on the planet, and it ends with them at the UN. It's like that's where it took them. To find the smartest, you had to go to the UN.
Yeah, and that's interesting because there's a G.I. Joe episode where he puts a collar on everyone in the UN and then begins to, you know, sort of direct all world political process and stuff. He mind controls them with the collar, obviously.
Well, so this is interesting because I wanted to invoke Joseph Campbell earlier because when I'm reading your summations of these different sub-themes happening in all these different cartoons, I'm thinking about the natural organic flow of a mythology from a people. And I'm wondering if that isn't part of this too, that right, there is this we think that mythology is something that happened in other cultures, but you know, at the same time we have all these superheroes that definitely are okay. And so Joseph Campbell said a mythology had four functions in that it there was the cosmological that explained, you know, why and where it's coming from, the pedagogical, which explains how one is supposed to be, mystical kind of is like the awe, you know, it's like the wonder of existence. And there's one other one, cosmological, pedagogical, mystical, and
Man, is it my imagination or are these brain farts becoming more frequent?
Well, I'm 40 wonderful, Will.
You're going to blame it on your age, huh?
Anyway, the point
you
of
You must
myth,
remember some of these cartoons, though, man. You must have...
No. This is below, or like I'm too old for this stuff. As far as like I was like just a few years too old for G.I. Joe.
Well, what about the 70s? What about like the Star Trek thing we were talking about in that?
But so my
Hanna-Barbera, you had to have grown up with Hanna-Barbera.
Sure. But the point is, so if the myths are supposed to tell who the people are and how the people are supposed to be, you know, what does this mean in terms of the things that you're seeing, the themes in your cartoons?
I see propaganda. I mean, when you're putting the UN, 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 that is programming. That is programming for you to respond to the UN as like the most powerful force on the planet.
UN.
Well, you know, there's. I think that first of all, you have to
Union. Well, UN. I'm trying to do this like Jake and Jim would do it, like unpack the sink.
Well, yes, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. Okay, you can say that propaganda is not a negative term. Okay.
Well, because Joseph Campbell really thought that
it is directed, though. It is not a spontaneous event through the unconscious.
The globe needed a unified mythology. This is the problem with modernity, is that we're fractured. So every Indian tribe, their name meant the people. So we're the people. Everyone else are the other, and the other are less than the people. And therefore, you can do anything you want because they're not even real people. So, like, this is a problem. Like, the reason why, if everyone is the same, then you can't exploit any other population because, you know, we're all – so the idea of a one world – community is a really important good thing on one level, but if it's controlling the whole world, that's scary. So, like, you can see this from different sides of the same coin, depending on how it's flipping.
Yeah, well, I think that G.I. Joe is really good. Well, first, let me just say that mythologically speaking, I think that all of these cartoons are so very rich in just their carrying on of human stories and then them having kind of a collective paranoia that's just going around, that has been going around in culture for decades. And it has to do with sort of Philip K. Dick notions. It has to do with the way that the CIA sort of functions and the amount of paranoia that goes into worrying about everything and thinking of everything as a potential threat and whatever. And there's these different levels of it that are sort of readily observable. Like, okay, G.I. Joe and what we're saying would be like a unified world army, even if it's the American army, if they're going around and finding these people that would be, you know, potentially like Cobra and eliminating them or fighting them or, you know, however you want to put that, then that's good, right? Because Cobra's kind of like the Nazis or whatever, except a lot more bent up on the Temple of Set stuff, and we don't want them ruling the world. But then at the same time, this gives our viewer the impression that our military is like G.I. Joe, and that there is a clear and vital threat like the Nazis or like Cobra, and that anything you hear about our military storming in other countries or whatever, they're these people who are thinking out the missions sort of for themselves. They're saying, let's not hurt this person, let's not hurt this person. There's a Cobra. He's got the evil piece of, you know, chemical weapon or whatever. Let's go take him down. Let's go secure that, and so these people don't get hurt. And it's not the way that said intelligence organizations decide to destabilize foreign governments and deal with them and things like that. So is that dangerous to say, yes, kids, go sign up for the Air Force, go sign up for Special Forces? You're going to be always in the morally right. You're going to be doing things that, you know, the Avengers would do or Captain America would do himself or something. That's all really dangerous. And there has to be some sort of responsibility, I think. I think it's sad that when I interviewed a lot of the people related to G.I. Joe or just got to talk to them and didn't get to the interview part, that A, they thought that I was skipping the rich mythology. They thought that I was saying, you know, I watched your whole show and all I got out of it was you trying to sell the Temple of Set to children or whatever. And that I see how that's offensive to them. But there has to be some line of responsibility where they're like, yes, you know, we admit that we put the RFID chip in all of these shows and we tried to sell it the way that they're trying to sell iPhones now. Like, it's just the coolest thing and you can modify your technological environment and all this stuff. And yes, we did skip over human potential. So we're saying, all you can do in life is pick up a gun and go fight someone, but when the future comes, you'll have a chip and you'll still be fighting people and it'll be cool or whatever, you know? There has to be some line of saying, okay, we kind of understood from our military background, from our technological understanding, or just our attention to political events, that all these things were going to change technologically. This was going to change our military. This was going to change the way we did things. But again, these shows were made while our military was doing things that our military might not believe in. You know, the show was made after, you know, intelligence organizations, the military had possibly made some hard decisions, not on the behalf of the American people and stuff like that. So for G.I. Joe particularly, you know, I think it's very misleading. I, for one, you know, grew up thinking that the Army might be awesome or Special Forces might be awesome or something. And it wasn't until, you know, the past couple of years when I really, really came to grips with what it means for our foreign policies to sort of destabilize governments and all this sort of stuff. And there's no lasers being fired around. You know, there's people laying everywhere bleeding, you know, and that has to be reconciled in someone's head. But what I think, you know, where we can really take this is with Spider-Man Unlimited, where in the first couple of episodes, you're pushing so much stuff down people's throats, and stuff particularly about the RFID, about how people in the future are going to be living on the sidelines in the streets while these sort of sentinels from X-Men or Predator drones, however you want to view that, are policing the streets and telling people, you know, you can't walk your dog after 7 o'clock or else we're going to laser you in the face or whatever. What is that? Like, you know, that's not G.I. Joe with all its rich mythology and all this stuff. That's taking Spider-Man, which could be fighting anyone in his rich mythology and talking about anything we know from the comic books, and putting it directly into what YouTube conspiracy theorists would call a predictive programming sort of device.
Right, right.
You're left with all these shows just pounding in RFID, RFID. So again, I don't want to Joseph Campbellize anything. I don't want to take the magic out of the mythology of Marvel or anything like that. It's something that definitely, you know, keeps me going vital.
No, that, I mean, that's interesting. I just, so we only have a couple, like a minute and a half left. Could you now consider reality? So you're politically interested. What? How do you reconcile those two things? Go.
the cartoons back to reality, you mean? How do
yeah.
You
so okay, like well, you said you're –
Oh, sorry.
Syria. I mean, what do you do with all that?
You work with what people already know. So you say, you know, did you watch this movie? Did you watch this show? And if they say yes, then you work a little bit harder. Did you notice that, you know, insistence on using that chair for tripping people's memories out? Did you notice that insistence on that, you know, mind control helmet, the RFID, the glorifying of, you know, military procedure in ways that it doesn't at all function or anything like that? And then you can tie that back. Oh, you did watch G.I. Joe. You did, you know, happen to see the Star Trek episode or whatever. Well, you know, this is actually happening here and here and here. And as much as people will constantly, immediately, knee-jerk respond, well, what, you learn everything from the internet? You learn everything from comic books and TV shows? And you can take that how you will. It'll start to set in their minds. Why is this predominating in our culture? Why is it doesn't matter if, you know, nerds are talking about it or military officials are discussing it on BBC or whatever. It seems to be the same kind of worries. And unfortunately, the most substantial stuff is the most exotic. So the stuff that the cartoons are really trying to push is the underground bases, the aliens, and the chips. And that's not really conversations you can have on the street. So you have to say, you know, like particularly with Syria, there's nothing we have from our media to really understand the amount of information that's being twisted there. There's no, you know, movie president to compare Obama to or whatever, with the amount of data that's swirling around, really not knowing where anybody stands, you know. But one thing you can do is be like, you know, all those movies and TV shows you watch, they had these heroes, these mythological characters. Well, were they extreme racist? Were they, you know, such in fear of the Jews, the Federal Reserve or whatever, that they're like hiding under their houses and just stuck on the internet all day looking for more evil that may be prowling around? Have they turned themselves into a civilian intelligence organization that just does nothing but sweat over what, you know, might end the world one day, or FEMA camps or something? No, they're out, you know, trying to change things. They're out, you know, fighting, for lack of a better word, for the right cause. And, you know, it really in Marvel, you know, we have all these movies that are coming out every year, like Avengers and Thor or whatever. People have these examples readily available. But for some reason, it's having like this kind of porn effect. They're just seeing super people, and they're wanting to sink into the couch even more because, you know, they don't sort of have the self-esteem or self-understanding or understanding of human potential to see how we could become mutants or superhumans or something, you know, use the rest of human potential, the rest of our brain, the way we can control our physiology with our mind and stuff like that.
Well, you could see it as the blur. I mean, like what Joe Alexander had in mind. But that actually was 42 minutes. Thanks. You've been listening to Frank Zero on SyncBook Radio, a production of thesyncbook.com. More information about the work of Mr. Zero can be found where you... What the heck? Where would you like to point the listeners, Frank?
Well, Frank Zero or Project PsyCube, the pages on Facebook, will lead you to everything else we do kind of as we do it. You know, I update that most consistently.
All right, great. For more information about the Sync Book, our guest, to check out past shows, or to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, please be sure and visit our website at 42minutes.com. If you'd like to support the show, we urge you to become a donor. You'll find the donation links under each episode on the website. That helps buy Doug microphones and stuff like that. Thanks so much, and have a wonderful Tuesday.
And God is empty, just like me.